The question is, are you rooted in God's truth? And how do you know you are? As our world becomes more evil with each passing day, how can your faith give you the blessings of God? The peace that Jesus has promised his followers in John 16:33, when Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you may have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, are you raising your hands because you've been in trials? We've all been in trials and tribulations. That's why hopefully this will move in. I'd like you just to be refreshed, ladies, and own the blessings of God, which he has promised to those of you who believe and follow Jesus, to those who are rooted in God's truth. We're going to now play a CD with a couple of worship songs. So if you could look at your songs, you can sing along if you'd like to.
Thank you.
If you look at your outline, that's what I'm going to be speaking on, so that might kind of help you as we go through it. Jesus is the truth. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said to Thomas and his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So we need to be rooted in the truth, and that truth is Jesus. In John 6:35-37, Jesus tells us that we can place our ultimate trust and confidence in him. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who knew the name of the Lord will put their trust in him." Belief requires faith. Our belief in God is the start of our faith, our journey as a Christian. God's presence is always there, in our belief and out of our belief. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and all those who dwell in the earth are his." John 3:16-17 is a great belief Bible verse that we all should hold dearly in our hearts. Jesus tells us what we must believe in. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world that he might be saved." John 3:36, Jesus also speaks of both the ones who believe and the ones who do not believe. "He who believes in the Son, Jesus, has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son, Jesus, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him or her." Once you believe, the Bible tells us that we need to confess our sins and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and then you will be saved, Romans 10:9. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Why do sins need to be confessed? So that we may claim God's blessing of times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Don't you want to claim this, to be refreshed? Faith needs to grow. As mentioned before, once we believe, we start our faith journey as a believer, as a follower of Christ, a Christian. Jesus tells us in Luke 17:6, he says, "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, a tiny mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry bush," similar to a blackberry bush, "be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey." Faith is power. Have any of you seen mustard seeds before? I'm going to pass them around, and for each of you to pick one up. What's very exciting about a mustard seed is it's very hard to pick one up because they're so tiny. If you can just pass them around and around, pick up a couple of them. I have to take if you want to take them to the Bible later. So you can actually see how tiny your faith has to be. So therefore, Jesus uses this tiny seed to illustrate the power of faith in the believer's life. Faith is the belief and confidence in God's promise of salvation and eternal life for all who place their trust in him. Faith is a gift of God and is essential for salvation. Through faith, we receive God's Holy Spirit and presence. Now may the God of hope fill you with peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Without conviction by the Spirit, we would not correct the sin. Conviction of sin is the first step towards redemption, and redemption cleanses us of our sin. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come." Romans 8:1 says, "Walk according to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to convict." Remember, the Spirit is not condemning you. He desires us to shine the light of the truth of Jesus through us. He wants to remove our sins, and our lives need to, that these sins need to be removed. The sin of fear, and the sin of doubt. Sin tries to rob us of our faith. The strength of our consciousness depends on both the truth and tradition. And these, in turn, are impacted by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus declared that he is the truth. So by maintaining a close personal relationship with him through prayer and being obedient strengthens our conscience. So in review, both the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our lives play vital roles in our spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit is quick to respond to our cries and our desires to be free of sin. Growing spiritually. As we begin to grow in our faith, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to grow spiritually through our Christian spiritual journey. I'm going to review five important steps to be growing in our faith. The first one is prayer. Prayer is essential in the believer's life. Philippians 4:6 says, "Let your requests be made known to God." We need to make time for quiet time in prayer with Jesus, thus growing the personal relationship with him. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with a supplication in the Spirit." If the Lord controls all things, why does he desire us to pray? God desires to involve his children through prayer, which he is doing. Prayer can give us a sense of dependence on God. God knows that answered prayer grows our faith. The Lord is not subservient to us, so his plans are contingent only upon himself. According to Scripture, James 4:2, God has planned to give us something, but will be received only if we ask. You do not have because you do not ask. God knows our hearts. In James 5:16, the Lord answers prayer. God has promised to listen and respond to the prayer of his children, Isaiah 65:24. So prayer invites God to act in our life. The second step in growing in our faith is reading the Bible. The Bible is God's manual for life. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing the word of God." And that's our Bible. In order to live by the word of God, and in order for us to defend the word of God, we must know the word of God. Bible reading daily is dependent on our growth. No reading or no instructions in life causes questioning and backsliding in our faith. Bible reading and studying are crucial in our Christian walk. Make it a priority in your life. Being busy is not an excuse. Get less busy and read the Bible daily. We need to read it, we need to memorize it, we need to live by it, we need to shine it to non-believers, and we need to grow in it. Our third step in growing in our faith is fellowship with believers. This also is crucial in our spiritual growth. It's also a challenge. And it's not always an easy task to fellowship with believers. But what a wonderful blessing it is to have sweet fellowship with believers in Christ. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Fellowship with believers, friends to share our Christian beliefs with, and friends who can encourage us." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Paul tells us to comfort one another and edify one another." Remember, truth in love is essential, and confidentiality is also essential. Do not gossip, as always, it's always very important for our fellowships with believers so that they can trust us. The fourth step in growing our faith is worship and praising God. Psalm 100 tells us to make a joyful shout to the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Worship is the praise and adoration of God expressed both publicly and privately. Deuteronomy 6 and 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Worship the Lord." In the book of Psalms, are many spiritual songs and hymns which were sung or chanted in public worship. The last step in growing our faith that I'm going to discuss with you today is sharing your faith with non-believers. Jesus commands us to preach the gospel in Luke 4:18. The good news must be told. How will they know if we don't tell them? Pray that God will reveal to you when and how to share the gospel with others. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, Paul shares to us, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. And now we're going to be talking about knowing God's word, the Bible, which I had mentioned a little bit. Being established or rooted in the truth means knowing the promises and blessings of God, which he gives us in the Bible, his truth. Know God by studying and knowing his word, his manual of life, and his love letter to you. Take God for his word. Do not pick and choose parts of the Bible to believe in. All of the Bible are his true and his truth, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Revelation 1:3, which we have a picture here from a previous women's retreat. It says, blessed is she who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and those who keep those things which are written in it. We have to learn and defend the Bible. That's apologetics. Therefore, we must know it in order to defend it. We must not doubt God's word or compromise God's word with man's fallible word. An example of believing evolutionary ideas or millions of years theory, these theories invade scripture and they undermine biblical authority. I don't know if any of you have heard of Ken Ham's. I have a few books up here if you'd like to look at afterwards. Ken Ham's book, which is this one, is based on his ministry. It's called Answers in Genesis, if you want to look it up in the on the internet. This book is called Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. When I saw this book, my heart was broken because as you read it more, you can see that there are many children that are walking away from the Word of God. So Ken Ham says, and this is his quote, unless the facts behind the Christian faith are clearly and convincingly communicated in a way that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren can learn and remember, their faith will not stand the assault of doubt from the world. It is not enough to just tell your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren to believe in Jesus. Faith that is not founded on fact will ultimately falter in the storm of secularism. And that's what our children are facing every day in the world. We must train them up in biblical facts in order to teach them. We must know the biblical facts, and we must defend the biblical facts. The Bible teaches us to do good and to do justice as we grow and mature in our Christian faith. We have a divine passion for justice that the Holy Spirit puts into our hearts, and as we grow as followers of Christ, the spiritual trials of this life, as Jesus has promised, will come. As discussed in James 5 and Revelations 2:10, which tells us believers who are not well-grounded or well-rooted in their faith cannot endure persecution. Matthew 13:21. Jesus declares that those who are persecuted because of their commitment to his will inherit the kingdom of God. As we see the persecution going on in the world today, and our hearts are broken for it, hold on to that promise that they are with the Lord because he promises it. God's word is filled with his promises to encourage us along our Christian journey. By memorizing God's amazing promises, we can be reassured of his perfect plans for our life. These verses of the Bible will come back to us, and they will give us strength by seeing God's hope, God's mercy and grace, and his encouragement when the sin of doubt causes you to question the truth of God and his word. God gives us his reasoning skills when we seek and know his ways. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, praising and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." James 5 teaches us to be patient, to establish our hearts, to pray, to worship, as end times are coming and change we are seeing daily. Stand strong in your faith. Do not lose your reasoning skills that the Holy Spirit has taught us in God's truth, which is the Bible. As we walk on our journey of faith in this life, be rooted in God's truth. Like a strong oak tree, as Psalm 1:3 tells us, "She shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever she does shall prosper." In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, our verses for the retreat tells us, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have seen and have you been taught, abounding with it with thanksgiving." Pleasing God is the very purpose for our existence. The Bible teaches as we delight his heart with our faith. When we're rooted in truth, God's word gives us many blessings which he promises to give us as we journey through our walk. Some of these blessings we have discussed in our workshop today: the peace of God, times of refreshing, God's presence, salvation, eternal life, faith, the Holy Spirit and his guidance, grace, redemption, fellowship with God, fellowship with others, worship, encouragement, hope, wisdom, and joy. The final note that I'd like to leave you with today is, life is full of injustices that we will never be able to fix, much less understand. But let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. The battle belongs to the Lord. Trust him. Be strong, especially in these times when it's easy to fall short. If you're not in the Word every day and you're not praying to God every day, the Bible teaches, as we went over, you will not be strong enough to endure the changes of this world, which we're all in. So remember that God has got it all under control, and actually he doesn't need Vicky or any of you. But if we lift our hands and we allow him to use us, he will allow us to help others. And in these days, I know there's many days that many people will come to me and say, "I wish the Lord would just come back."
Yes.
But I always think there are our family and friends that haven't come yet. So we better be busy and be shining that light, because when it's over, it's over. So be strong in the Lord, ladies, and just make sure that you're out there shining his word. You might be the only Bible that many people out there are reading. So feel free, if you'd like, to look at some of these books that I've been reading and that are available to you. This is another one that's really awesome. We studied actually creation this summer in our home fellowship. And we studied about the privileged planet, which is our planet. And this is an awesome DVD, which actually, CD, which actually has scientists that are non-believers when they start this. And it's 20 or 30 years process of them studying the all the different cosmics and where our Earth is located. And where God has put us is in a space where we can look out and see his wonders. When we look up and see his stars, and we look up and see his moon, how you cannot believe by looking up and seeing that, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does that, right? But it shows that these scientists have shown after years and years of studying that we are in a spot that God has put us in, that we can breathe and we can see his works, and there is a mighty work to be done. I doubt very much there is any other planet, as this shows, that can have people living on it as God's perfect plan for us. He loves us so much that he's put us on a perfect planet to be able to tell everyone about him so we can one day be with him. Yes. It's called The Privileged Planet. And the other CDs up here, if you'd like to look at them, are CDs that focus on creation for your children or your grandchildren. All of them are science-based. There's also a 3-CD which actually talks about Darwinism and how his theory is totally proven false, and yet our schools continue to teach our children about it. So you need to be strong enough when they come home that you can say, well, Genesis 1 through 11 has a different story, my dear. Let me share it with you. So it's important for us to be able to be blessed to share these and be strong about it. Another thing, just one really quick before we end in prayer, is that Bible stories is a term that we should all change as of today. It's Bible history. It's true history that Jesus has left to share with us so we can share the creation. So when, and our Sunday schools here are so awesome that they work on this. There are Bible lessons, and it's not just the story of the ark with children, with animals flying all out of it. It was actually an amazing ship that maybe children might be interested in engineering might realize that this was an actual real-life ship. It's not like the bathtub picture that we sometimes see, which is fine when they're infants. But we want to make sure that we're explaining to our children, because remember, they're in school 5 days a week. They're in church usually 1 hour a week. So we have to not be dependent. We have to be doing it. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Father, that your word is true. And we thank you, Father God, that you've left to us your word so we can defend it. And I pray right now that every woman in this room desires to defend the word and know the word and teach the word. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to each one of us on an individual basis, but also is used through us to minister in a group basis. And I pray now as we go back and finish our one-day seminar on Rooted, that these women's lives are changed and that the things that your Holy Spirit has spoken into our hearts will be strong in our hearts so we can be busy about doing your word, Lord, for that is what we're all about. In your precious holy name, amen.